I'm Bruce Worsen, pastor of His Place Community Church. The following message came from a Sunday morning right here at His Place.
Where are you pointing people? What direction? Because you're pointing them somewhere, like it or not. Each relationship with every single person in your life plays a pivotal role in guiding and deciding where they're going and why. And that means we need to talk about the E word this morning. Yeah, there's an E word. Evangelism. I know. It's strange. To some people, it's a dirty word. Some people, it's the best word. But here's two truths I want you to really think about this morning, okay? Every person in this room is here because someone at some time, somehow, shared God in a way that moved you to attend today. We all have that story. Something, someone shared, and it got us here. But the flip side of that coin, we also need to recognize that many people outside this room aren't here because someone at some time somehow shared God in a way that moved them to stay away from church today. Okay? Hard truths, but truths. All right? Because the truth is this: sharing isn't always caring. It's not necessarily. Sometimes sharing is condescending, judgmental, or intimidating. Sometimes we share to brag, belittle, or berate, because being in a position to offer help also puts us in a position to indulge our pride. That's a very thin line there. And it takes very careful consideration to keep our offerings humble and helpful rather than high and mighty. Okay, so this is what we're really focusing in on this morning. But that makes things really tricky, because there's no magic words or secret formula to evangelism, right? To doing it right. There's not like just a specific cookie cutter way that we can do it. Sharing God with others hits or misses differently with everyone on a case-by-case basis. In fact, the exact same words that you would use to share can be both compelling to some and yet repelling to others. So we got to recognize this right off the bat here. We need an approach that is adaptable. All right, if we want to be received as relevant and relatable to as many people as possible, we need to cater our message to our audience. The way that Paul says, though I am free, right? That's Paul. I am free and belong to no one. I have made myself a slave to everyone to win as many as possible. To the weak, I became weak. To win the weak, I've become all things to all people so that by all possible means, I might save some of them. I do this all for the sake of the gospel, that I may share in its blessings. Okay, great approach, but don't mishear that, all right? Because this sometimes we hear this thing wrong. Catering your approach does not mean compromising your beliefs, all right? We don't have to in any way censor the gospel. You don't have to at all. It just means finding common ground to disarm the defensiveness that naturally grows from our differences. And as Peter adds, that means you got to keep your heart in line. So he says, this is a classic, great verse. In your hearts, right? In your hearts, revere Christ as Lord. You're already doing that. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. Get that? When they ask you, it doesn't say go find them and beat them over the head with it. Who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But when you do this with gentleness and respect. Very key. So right there, okay, that's our approach. To make yourself relevant and relatable, and then we got to share with gentleness and respect. That sounds easy enough, right? An honest man in church. There you go. Absolutely not. That sounds impossible because I know us. I know what I'm like. I know what you guys are like too. It is instinctual for us to get heated and keep score and try to win whenever we're at odds with anyone. Look at your neighbor right now. Look at your spouse. You know this to be true. Whenever you're at odds, it just turns into that competition. So how do we keep our cool when trying to evangelize, when you're trying to share something new? How do we do it? Stop trying. What a terrible message, huh? Just stop trying. We're the church, no more trying to share it. No. Stop trying. At least stop trying to save people, because that has never been our job. Get this in your head. God does the saving. We do the pointing. We just point at him. Our number one priority should be pointing people toward God, not pointing out their mistakes or our success. All right? That is first and foremost. Point first and foremost to the one that actually gets things done. As we know, neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but only God who makes things grow. He's what makes things happen, right? We're just catalysts at best, pointing the way. So don't ever forget that. We're the saved, not the Savior. And when he's using us, you know, as an instrument of that, it can get tricky. Sometimes we get that confused and we think, I'm doing it. No, you're not. You're just working for him. You're just pointing them to him. So the most powerful argument that we can ever make on God's behalf is living for him, not speaking for him. We don't get to do that. Now, yes, I know what you're thinking. We are supposed to speak, right? Yes, we are firsthand witnesses who are called to testify to the reality of God's power. But our words pale in comparison to the silent witness of our example. And that's due to something called Lockhart's exchange principle. And I just love this so much because, you see, Dr. Edmund Lockhart, who was known as the Sherlock Holmes of France, noticed this interesting thing, that all forensic investigation, all forensic science is based on a really simple premise, and it's this. Every contact leaves a trace. Got it? Every contact leaves a trace. One forensic expert put it this way, because everybody studies him if you get into this, or if you're just a big fan of CSI, you guys might know this stuff already. But it's he says, wherever he steps, whatever he touches, whatever he leaves, even unconsciously, will serve as a silent witness against him. Not only his fingerprints, but fibers from his clothes, glass he breaks, paint he scratches, blood he deposits. This is all evidence that does not forget. Okay? And that's awesome and very cool. And again, we have 40 shows to prove how much we love this idea. It's so fun. But in his TED Talk, London policeman John Sutherland goes on to explain how this principle applies not just to forensic science, but to all human contact. And he says very beautifully, every single time two people come into contact with one another, an exchange takes place, whether between lifelong friends or passing strangers. We encourage, we ignore, we hold out a hand, or we withdraw it. We walk towards, or we walk away. We bless, or we curse. And every single contact leaves a trace. It's true. The way that we treat and regard one another matters. It really matters. And I say, amen, Mr. Policeman. That's incredible. This cop is preaching and he doesn't even know it. But it is so true. We know this to be true. It's our actions around and our interactions with others that impact us the most. Or to say that very simply, our relationships change us. Duh. Right? Our relationships change us. They have a huge impact. And in every relationship that you have ever had, that you're a part of, we know that actions speak much louder than words. So, no wonder, of course, the cornerstone of Christian belief is a transforming relationship with Jesus that is based on the action that he took, what he did for us. Because he sacrificed himself to save us, to point us to a relationship that changes us, also that we can see the supreme power of real love. That's it, right? So Paul says, therefore, knowing that, getting how that works, that's why Jesus is here, as for that relationship. If you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and of one mind. Right? As for your actions, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not ever looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others. That's it. There's the secret. This right here, that whole section, what he's just painting, that picture, this is the mark of evangelism done right. It's reproducing the relationship that changed you, okay? You've had that experience. Something has happened in you. Get people into that same situation. Our goal is to get others into their own relationship with Jesus, with gentleness and respect. That's the trick. So how do we do it, right? Okay, that's the million-dollar question. This is a very simple message, but it's something that's like, you gotta just really bang this drum to do it right. How do we do this when the whole world feels increasingly at odds with God? How do you reach every single neighbor and coworker and family member who just shuts off when they hear words like cross or sin or savior, right? It's tough because it's so delicate. And here's what you do, and it's strange, it's sort of counterintuitive. Here's what you do. You just focus on your relationship with Jesus, okay? Don't worry. Don't worry about them. Remember, he saves them. You focus on your relationship with Jesus, and here's why. Jesus died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them, okay? And Paul goes on to explain this principle a little bit more, and I love the way that he's so curt and he says it just so pointedly. He says, look, I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live now, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me, and there's the relationship, and gave himself for me, because there's the action. Okay, so make sure you get this. This is how this unpacks. Once Jesus takes the wheel in your life, once Jesus takes the wheel, everyone who has a relationship with you now unknowingly has a relationship with Christ in you. Okay, you get it? Christians smuggle the Spirit into all of our relationships. That is awesome. We trick them into it, guys. That's great. I don't know why I'm so into that. I wasn't sneaky about this. And thanks to Lockhart's principle, everyone in your life is being changed by their contact with the Christ in you, even if they didn't want to hear anything about him. We got him, you know? Like, it works. It's so cool. And the stronger the presence of Jesus in your life, the bigger the mark he gets to leave on the lives of others through you. Get that? That is so cool. We're puppets. It's awesome. We are, therefore, as Scripture says, we are, therefore, Christ's ambassadors, as though God himself were making his appeal through us. And we know our approved approach to his appeal because he's the one who tells us. He says, as I have loved you, remember that relationship, so you must love one another. You gotta reproduce that relationship. By this, everyone will know that you're my disciples, if you love one another. And as John reminds us, let us not love with words or speech, but with what? Actions and in truth. And I can't speak for you, but I can verify this. I know this to be true, okay? I know that it was the actions and truth in the relationships that I had with some very select, very important spirit smugglers in my life that changed me the most. And think about this. Go back, because again, somebody is the reason why you're here, right? And for me, it was those few friends who really listened, right, who really heard you. Instead of just waiting to talk, they really listened to you. It was a couple of bandmates that I had who dropped whatever they were doing if I needed anything, if I needed help doing anything. It was just so selfless. It was so interesting to me. And it was my mother who continued to just worry about me while she was fighting a brutal battle with cancer. How? That blew me away. I don't know how these people were so selfless and caring and loving. I don't get it. It's because it wasn't them. That's the effect. That's God in them. That is Jesus in them having that effect. And I was having contact with him. Those are the relationships where God left the biggest mark on me. And 90% of that impact came from the silent witness that testified in every interaction. Just anything that they did for me, the way that they interacted with me, it just blew me away. And it was only after I was on the hook through those interactions that we had that I ever gave weight to the words that they spoke. You know, so then when they all of a sudden said, oh, I got to go to church. I remember this actually very, very vividly because I was one of these guys in my life said, oh, I got to go to church tomorrow morning. I said, we don't go to church. We're rock and roll, dude. He's like, I got to go to church. And I went, why does he go to church? What is it? And he's got something though. And right then, all of a sudden, because of the experience of these relationships, the word Christian changed meaning to me, right? Made me just see everything completely different. So let your light shine, right? Let your light shine before others. Important part there, right in front of others, that they may see your good deeds, your actions. And after learning your relationship with God is how you are the way you are, well, then they'll glorify your Father in heaven. How are they so caring and kind and selfless? You're a Christian? Well, there's something to that God. In everything, set them an example by doing, there's the action, by doing what is good. In your teaching, don't just talk. Show integrity, seriousness, and soundness of speech that cannot be condemned, so that those who oppose you may be ashamed because they have nothing bad to say about us. Because when our actions are attractive, they give weight to our witness. All right? Remember that. That's it. That's what's compelling, is when it's attractive. They're saying, what do you got? I want some of that, right? Then they'll ask. And then they'll listen. They'll have weight in that witness. And then it changes people. Take last week's look at David and Goliath. I loved this whole sermon. I love this idea. I love this is such a His Place thing that we do, the sort of Bible forensics where we're like, okay, but why is he saying that? What's going on? That close look at the story that just where all this fun stuff pops out. And I loved all of the inspiring insight about how courage and faith keep us from underestimating ourselves as the underdog. Right? It reminds us, like, no, I'm strong and I can face these giants head on. It's true. But most of us don't have David's mindset yet. You know, if we're honest with ourselves, you're not jumping into, we got to practice a whole long time for starters. But I mean, it's don't get me wrong, that's the goal. We want to just run out and take on these giants. But until then, until we've developed that level of faith, a lot of us are still more like the Israelites who are standing on the sidelines, trying to muster the courage to just make a move. And if you remember from the story, whenever the Israelites saw Goliath, they all fled from him in great fear. They kind of ran away, right? And they stayed back. No one was jumping into battle like this until David does it. They stayed back even while David tells Goliath, while he's having that big speech. Right? And he says these inspiring things. I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty. This day, the Lord will deliver you into my hands. You know, is anybody moving? No, not yet. Okay. I'll strike you down and I'll cut off your head. And the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel. All those gathered here, these scaredy cats over here, all these gathered here will know that it is not by sword or spear that the Lord saves, for the battle is the Lord's. And is anybody moving? No, so nobody's moving yet, right? Despite these encouraging, inspiring words, nobody was moved to change until David took action on their behalf right before their eyes. And then he killed Goliath. He did it. And right after he kills Goliath, guess what happens? Well, then the men of Israel and Judah surged forward with a shout and pursued the Philistines. We can do this. Hot dog. That's hot dog. It's in the Bible. Hot dog. It says it right there. But that's it. I mean, that's what it took. They saw this action on their behalf. Wow, this is incredible. They saw his relationship with the Lord, that faith, and it inspired them to actually move and take that step. And I want you to notice that David didn't try to convince, coerce, or guilt the Israelite army into an increase of faith. Right? That wasn't it. He wasn't like, we're going to do it, right? Come on, guys, you know, get with me. He didn't do that. He didn't focus on them. At this point, actually, he didn't even speak to them. He only spoke to his enemy about his faith in front of others, just right in front of them, knowing that the mark that he was going to leave on Goliath would leave a mark on them, that it would do something to them. Because that is how it goes, right? A front row seat fires us up. If you're right there and you see it right there, I mean, it's just, you want to do it, right? Every time I watched a kung fu movie, I was out in the yard trying to do that same stuff. You're like, me too, I want to do it, right? Because our proximity to power starts this chain reaction of change. And the closer the contact, the bigger the impact. That's why real, intimate, close relationships are so important to everything that we're trying to do, to give weight to all of the words that you'll ever speak, because they keep contact close, right? That's what relationships are. And like Teddy Roosevelt famously said, no one cares how much you know until they know how much you care, okay? That's how you get that equity. That's how people get inspired to actually take action. It's that relationship that you have. And that means this. Here's the upshot. Love is the only foundation for evangelism. Has to be. Love has to be. Sharing has to be caring for it to be effective. Because every single interaction of each relationship leaves that evidence that does not forget. It leaves that mark. It sticks with you forever. Again, you've all got somebody in your head. You remember the first time, some inspiring Christian that made you want to go to church. Somebody. And it never forgets. It leaves its mark. And inspiring and encouraging and empowering actions are all hallmarks of contact with Christ. That's when you know that's what that is, when you just are left with that feeling. But condescending, judgmental, or intimidating words are all fingerprints of pride. So be careful. If there's any of that in your speech, you're not giving them contact with Christ. You're giving them contact with your own pride. So all that to say this, okay? Again, very simple thing, but I mean, I just want to drill this into your head, because there's a lot of people outside these walls who are looking to be inspired by that relationship, to bring them inside these walls so that we can point them to the relationship that's going to save their lives. But here's the secret then, okay? So here's the secret. This is what we're doing outside those walls. Here's how we keep evangelism attractive. Don't try hard, love hard. That's it, okay? Don't try hard, love hard. Love the Lord, your God, with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and then love your neighbor as yourself. Because if evangelism, if you really want to share them, if you want to point them to it, if sharing God is your goal, get this. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. That's it. Love the Lord your God. Love your neighbor. Everything else is taken care of. Point them at him. That's it. Because look, it's so simple. Evangelism is not this big crazy thing that you got to figure out. It's mostly just the mark that is left by your love of others that naturally grows from your love of the Lord. Just naturally happens. So wherever your faith falls right now on a scale from Israelite to David, remember this. Our job centers on giving others a front row seat to our life as it slowly becomes Christ's life. And then as that happens, you can be confident that you are pointing people in the right direction, because you're just the middleman smuggle in the spirit. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. Let's pray, guys. Father God, we love you and we thank you for showing us how your love leaves this life-changing mark on all of our lives. And Holy Spirit, we ask that you guide us to grow in faith as we learn to show your love in every single one of our daily interactions. And Lord Jesus, we give you our lives so that you can use us as your point of contact for your life-saving impact. And to that we all said, amen. Amen.
Well, thanks for listening in. Why don't you join us on a Sunday morning? If you'd like more information about the church, just point your browser to hisplacechurch.com. Until next time, may the Lord bless you, keep you, and make his face shine upon you.